Welcome to another inspiring message from David Hall, pastor of LifePoint Church, Adelaide, Australia. It's our sincere prayer that you would experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. For more information, please visit davidhall.com.au.
Luke 24. In your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke 24. It is, if you can't find it, it's immediately after Luke 23, actually. And Jesus is about to ascend and go to heaven. And so this is his parting sermon to the church. Now, if Pastor Jared is about to leave and go to Zambia and to go to Germany, I'm sure he's going to brief his staff on a few things that need to happen here while he's gone. And so Jesus is about to go to heaven. This is his final download, his final brief to the disciples, to the apostles. He's got just a few things he needs to tell them before he goes. And one of the things he said, you'll find in Mark 16, you don't need to turn there, but he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But then he says here in Luke 24 and verse 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power, clothed with power, a clothing of power from on high. It's interesting, the word tarry means wait. So one minute God's saying go, Jesus says go, but then he says wait. And the disciples, I wonder if they're going, I don't know which one it is. I'm not sure. Thomas is going, I doubt this is going to work out. And they're just, one minute Jesus says, he says, lo, I'll be with you always. Lo, it's just short for hello, is it? Because they were tight for time. He says, lo, I'll be with you always. And as he says it, he ascends to heaven. Was he lying? No, he wasn't lying. He was with him, but he's with him in the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So he says to his disciples, he says, go and wait in Jerusalem. You're going to be endued with power from on high. In other words, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. When you got saved, when you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, the Bible's very clear that when you get born again, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He comes in. So the Holy Spirit is in you for you. For your ticket to heaven is paid for by the blood of Jesus and activated by the Holy Spirit within you. And so you're born again. Now that's what happens when you get saved. But Jesus is, see, here's the thing. When Jesus rose from the dead, he went to his disciples. The Bible says he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he went up to them and some people, I heard a preacher sort of illustrate it like this, that he went up to them and, which is not true. That would be blowing on them. And the Bible said, breathe on them. So this is what he did. He went up to them and said, that's how he did it. Biblical. I'm true to scripture. So they received the Holy Spirit. Then he says to the same people after, I was in a church, I was preaching for John McMartin. I won't tell them which church it was. It was a church in another state. I won't say which state, but it's north of Victoria, south of Queensland. And I blew in the microphone like that, and there was a lady in the third row she'd fallen asleep. Evidently, she was not yet sanctified because I blew in the microphone and she said a word that I've never heard in the house of God before. I'm not going to say what the word was. I'm not even going to hint, but I will tell you that all of the doves that were in this steeple relocated to another church. That was awesome. But anyway, Jesus breathes on his disciples, says, receive the Holy Spirit. So it's not a case of they were baptized in the Holy Ghost at that point in time, because he says to those same disciples here, go and wait in Jerusalem. Go into all the world, but first wait. Why? Because I want you to go, but I need you to wait. Because I don't want you to go without power. I don't want you to go into the city of Jerusalem and plant a church or build a ministry without going in there under the fire of God. Can I tell you, church, you and me can't do this thing alone. We cannot do Christianity alone. See, Jesus, when he was born of Mary, you know, he laid aside all the benefits that come with being Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38, God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. In other words, what Jesus did supernaturally, when he walked on water, when he stole a kid's lunch, fed 5,000, 5,000 people when he did all these miracles. You know, he did every one of those. Sorry, that was cheeky. I'm not always going for the laugh. I just like light amusement, you know, where you, it's not a, it's more of a, you know. But when he did all of those things, he didn't do those because he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He laid aside all of those privileges. He did everything he did under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He did those things clothed with power. So in order to do the same things Jesus did, we need the same power Jesus had. And Jesus is saying here, go into Jerusalem. You're going to be endued with power from a clothed with power, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to be connected to the river of heaven. There was a man by the name of Lawrence of Arabia. Lawrence of Arabia. Basically, they said World War I would be the war that ended all wars, the war to end all wars. And obviously, it wasn't the case. World War II ended up happening, but the British Empire was spread pretty thin. The armies were spread pretty thin in World War I, and so England wanted to bring their soldiers home, but they were worried about unrest in the Middle East, and there was a group called the Ottoman Empire in that region, and so they didn't want them to have too much power, so they sent Lawrence down to see if he could gather these nomadic tribes and build some kind of army. These nomadic tribes, their whole purpose in life was to go from watering hole to watering hole. Tribes would perish if they had no water. So these tribes had an amazing knack to find water. They lived for water. If they found water, that was their provision. That was winning the lottery. That was everything that they could want. So these tribes went from watering hole to watering hole. Lawrence says to them, we want to create in this part of the world, T.E. Lawrence, he says, we want to create in this part of the world something that looks like what we have in Europe. So he got all of the chieftains of each tribe and he takes them to London, shows them around London, puts them in these hotels. Now, at this time of the of history, running water was just starting. So most of these hotels didn't have taps and running water. You'd bring water with you to the room. And so they're seeing the galleries of London. They're seeing all the sights. Then he takes them for a week in Paris. They get to this brand new hotel, one of the first hotels in the world to have taps and to have running water. And so these guys are in the hotel. They go into the bathroom. They see the tap. They Americans call them a faucet. What did we do? Do we unscrew it? We turn it on. I've never actually verbalized the action. They would turn on the tap and water was flowing. He could not get them out of their hotel room to see the great sights of France because they were so amazed that this little silver device could give them the very thing that they wanted more than anything in the world. They wouldn't, while there was running water, they would not leave the hotel. On the last day, Lawrence goes to make some arrangements to take these guys home, gets back to the hotel, and there's police everywhere because they've gone to all the rooms and taken all the taps out of the bathrooms, put them in their bag to take to the Middle East. And Lawrence says to these guys, you're missing the point. These taps are not just something on their own that can make water appear. They have to be connected to something. They're connected to pipes. Those pipes are connected to the bottom of the building. The bottom of the building's connected to a reservoir of water, and that simply is connected to something that's flowing to the building. And you're missing the point. You can take those same taps and put them on your wall. They're not going to produce water. Can I encourage you? Some of us come to church and we think, you know, it's wonderful. I'm going to take a little bit. Maybe I like the lights. I like the music. I like the coffee. Those things are just the taps. They're just the surface things. You've got to understand what you feel here is actually connected to a reservoir. Oh, Jesus, help us. Called the Holy Spirit. And can I say, this is a nice tap, but can I tell you the reason you keep coming back is not because it's shiny. There's black taps that have matte black finish. They're nice. We nearly got those. Then you got other taps that, you know, if you've got an old bathroom, you might have a hot one and a cold one going into the same sink. There's ones that you can set on the wall and get your temperature, but they're all just taps at the end of the day. The thing that makes them effective is they're connected to a water source. Jesus is saying, hey, you don't go without connecting your tap to rivers of living water. You've got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. I've been happy anyway. I'm just even a little more happy. You know, this thing about baptism, we think it's like a real Christian word, you know. But if you could go to anyone in Perth and say, hey, I'm getting baptized next week, come and join us, they will have a fair idea, even if they don't know what it means. They know it's a good churchy word. It's a churchy word. But it wasn't always. In Bible times, when we first hear this word baptism, they didn't have multiple words for specific things. They would have one word to describe many different things. And baptism was a secular word. If a ship was in the ocean and that ship perished at sea, what would we say? That ship has sunk. They didn't have the word sunk. They had the word baptized. In other words, they said the ship was baptized because the ship has gone from being in the water. Now the water is in the ship. Can I tell you, you might be here in the water, but we want the water in you when you leave this place. Let me say this. When come on, if you believe it, give God a shout. That's fine. Oh, hallelujah. Bless God. Hashtag hallelujah. Now, that's very 2015 right there. Do you know, if you dye a shirt, we don't really dye clothes anymore, but we use the word dye, don't we? They didn't have the word dye. They would get the fabric, they'd put it in the dye, and they would leave it in there until the dye attached itself to the fabric, and they would pull it out, and they'd say, hey, this garment has been baptized, because now it's not just in the dye is now in the fabric. Do you see how it works? If somebody drowned, and I'm not in any way trying to be insensitive, they would use that. They didn't have a word for drowned. They would say the person that's perished is baptized because no longer are they in the water. The water is in them. And so when Jesus is using that term, he's explaining to them a very clear principle. We want you to be totally and completely filled inside and out with the waters of God. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. Not just the waters, you being in the water, but the water being in you. Do you know, we use baptism often in many different ways. I'll go to a cafe and I'll get some potato wedges and I'll baptize them in sour cream. I don't just want my chip to have sour cream on it. I want sour cream in my chip. Some of you baptize yourself about once a month at the hairdresser. You go in and your hair might be one color and every bit of your hair gets baptized in hair dye, and that hair dye connects itself to your hair. They're very quiet in here. Some of you just put your hat on. There's nothing wrong with colouring your hair. It's a brilliant idea. I colour my hair all the time. I'm going for lilac next week. Just to release another colour of my personality. Do you know? But what are we doing? It's the same principle. You stay in that chair for 30 or 40 minutes while that colour goes from being on your hair to now in your hair. There wouldn't have been a word for that 2,000 years ago. They would have used the word baptize. Baptize is simply saying, I'm not just in the environment of the presence of God. That environment is in me. That's the difference between going to church and being the church. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, today Jesus said in Acts 1, he said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, I'm preaching it. This is a short sermon. It's not even a sermon. You'd call this a sermonette, because we're going to keep it nice and short, because in about 2 minutes, Brother Keyboard is going to come and he's going to play. He's going to play a song. I asked him to maybe do Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, but he said no. He said it wasn't Christian, and I was disappointed. So I think we're going to sing Oh Praise the Name of the Lord Our God, and we can go with that. But do you know, the whole purpose of today, Pastor Jared asked me to come. He said, just preach short and let's just make some room for the Holy Spirit to touch people. You know, the power of God is real. Jesus said you'll receive power. If I was to maybe pull the front casing off the wall plug and just grab a couple of those wires, can I tell you, you'd feel some power. You'd be on the floor. I mean, it wouldn't be the Holy Ghost, but you'd know it happened. And I'm believing God this morning that the power of heaven would just come and fill you. If you're hungry today, he'll fill you. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Today is your day for an encounter with God. I'm believing you in every part of this room. The Holy Spirit is in this room, whether you're at the front or the back. I'm believing God for his power to be so real. I've got a friend, Bob. I think he's actually preached here, by the name of Mark Francy. Mark Francy. And I was preaching for him. This is years ago in Boise, Idaho. And their church is very connected with the Boise State. I think they're the Broncos, but the university team, the football team. And there was a young guy in the service who plays. It was the receiver. He was their number one receiver, sponsored by Nike. Hey, that's awesome. What key are you in? D. It's a coincidence, isn't it, Pastor Jerry? Because I've been preaching in D the whole time. But and I appreciate the front row laughing for the second time at that joke. So this young guy is coming to the service, and their church is pretty charismatic. You know, it's got a little bit of zing. It's got a little bit of spice. You know, just a little bit of something. And he loved the church, but didn't love all the Holy Spirit stuff. And so I was preaching on Naaman dipping in the river seven times, and that's what I was preaching on. And there's no point explaining the message. It's changed my life. But he was at the back and he started to shake under the presence of God, and he didn't believe in that. And so he was a bit conflicted. So Mark says, can we bring him to supper tonight for the meal after service? I said, sure. Talk to him about the Holy Spirit. We're at dinner. We're just making small talk. And we're walking to the car. And I said to this guy, Christopher, I said, where are you at with all this stuff? Is it freaking you out? Are you hungry for God? Do you want him to touch you? He just said this. He said, I'm open to it. And it sort of just came out of my mouth. I said, the Bible says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. I don't think openness is the posture to receive the fullness of God. I really believe by faith you need to ask God to fill you. And it's like the anointing of God just fell. And we were in the multi-level car park about to get in the car. And so we just said to him, hey, do you want the Holy Spirit to come on you now? And you could tell that he was just hungry. So I said to the guys, why don't we pray? So we start praying. And I said, Father, would you fill him with the anointing? And he started to fall backwards, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, but he's sponsored by Nike. If he gets an injury, I'll get sued. And this isn't church. This is a car park. You can't fall down in the car park. You can only fall down at church, mainly during conferences. And so and it wasn't a conference and it wasn't a car. It was a car park. And so he's falling back and I'm sort of trying to keep him standing. And then I thought, oh, I've got nothing to lose. I live in Australia. And so the next minute he's on the floor and this car full of guys, hydraulic, drives past us, sees him on the ground, sees us. And I've never seen a car move so quick away from us. It was awesome. So he's on the floor and we start listening. And do you know what we hear coming out of his mouth? We start hearing the language of heaven. He gets radically baptized in the Holy Spirit in a car park. I mean, who gets filled with the Holy Ghost in a car park? He did. And can I say, if God can do that in a car park, what can God do in a room full of faith, full of believers, full of people who want something from God? I'm believing today. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. He made it, and I believe he's got great power for this day, for this moment. I just thought maybe for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, why don't we just take some time on a wintry Sunday morning and let the fire of God just get in our bones, in our spirit. I'd love it if we could just stand. Maybe you've never lifted your hands. Maybe you've come to church, you're like, you don't really tend to lift your hands. Can I encourage you to just take a step of faith in a minute and lift your hands? I'll tell you why. The Bible says he trains our hands for war and our fingers for battle. I don't believe lifting your hands is just surrender. However, it is surrender, and that's so important. That's a great space to be with God, surrendered and hungry. But when you lift your hands, I also believe you're shifting stuff in the Spirit of God over your life. And so we don't just lift our hands just because that's what we do. It is a natural response to God, but I encourage it. Just leans you in a little bit to the supernatural touch of God and creates an openness and a hunger for God. And I just love it. And the other thing, when we all lift our hands, is we create a thing that we call the corporate anointing, corporate faith. So we're all in this moment together believing that God wants to do something, because today he wants to heal the sick. He wants to deliver some people. I believe some of you come bound by stuff. I believe God's going to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And so right across this house this morning, I would love it if every person that names the name of Jesus loves Jesus Christ. Why don't you lift your hands to God? You know, He's going to fill people this morning with fresh oil. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so hungry. We're so thirsty for your power and your presence. Lord, let your anointing fill this house. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fill this place. Lord God, we're asking for the fire of God to be manifest in this room. Lord, touch hungry hearts. Lord, let miracles happen in the name of Jesus. Just with every head bowed, every person in prayer for just one moment. Maybe you've come to church this morning and we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost and we're talking about all the crazy wild stuff that we like to talk about from time to time. But maybe you're here and you've never actually come into a relationship with Jesus. You've never surrendered your life to the Lord. And you know God's calling you. Maybe you have, but you've walked away. Or maybe just stuff has happened and there's distance between you and God. And you know it's a big distance. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Maybe you just take the one step, He'll take the 10,000 steps. And you're here today and maybe someone's brought you to church. I don't know how it is that you came to be here, but I know it was the hand of God. And if you're in the room today and you'd say, Dave, I need to get saved. I'm lost. I need Jesus. Or maybe, it's a bit of a blunt word, but maybe you're just backslidden in your heart and you know you need to come back to Jesus and get your life right with God. Heaven and hell are real and eternity's real. And eternity's a serious business. Maybe you're here today and you just not sure where that sits, and I want to encourage you. I want you to leave this place with full assurance that you're born again, that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're saved by Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're lost, or maybe you've never come into faith in God, you don't know the joy of your sins forgiven. He'll take shame, He'll take guilt, He'll take regret. Now put in joy and peace and the goodness of God. If you're here today and you'd say, David, you're talking to me, I need Jesus. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's moving around too much. If that's you, just so I can see who I'm praying for, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm believing God's going to do a saving work of grace. If you'd say, Dave, I need to be included in that prayer, just so I can see who you are. Would you raise your hand so I can see who you are? There's a hand back there. Is there anyone else back there? I see your hand. Down here, I see your hand. Over there, back there. Are there others who would say, David, today's my day. God bless you over there. Is there anybody else that would say, that's me? I see a hand over there. Are there others that would say, Dave, pray for me quickly. Lift it high so I can see who you are. I see a hand at the very back. God bless you. You can put it down. God bless you, sir. Are there others this morning? I believe, God bless you, man. It's awesome. Down here. Are there others that would say, today's my day? Just lift your hand if that's you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to include you in my prayer. I feel in my spirit that there maybe is a couple more. And I don't just say that to keep the thing moving. I just know in God. And maybe believers, if you thank you, sister, back there. Maybe believers, just pray very quietly in the Holy Ghost, because it's a holy moment and it's an eternal moment. Are there others quickly in the house that would say, Dave, that's me? Thank you so much for raising your hand. God bless you back there. It's awesome. Come on, church, give the Lord a hand of praise. And do we leave them in their seats or do we bring them forward in their seats? We're going to pray. Do I leave them in the seats or bring them forward? You know, if you lifted your hand, you know, there's just too many of you for one of us to just pray for you individually. And I know in WA you guys are tough. And if you're, you know, especially your football teams, and that's not a good thing, pray for the Crows. But if you lifted your hand to say yes to Jesus Christ, can I ask you to do something that pretty much all of us have done at one point? And that is, I just want to pray for you here. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you here. And I want to shake your hand and tell you how grateful we are. The church are going to be pumped, but they're not going to be really too, no one's eyes are really going to be on you. So you don't have to be embarrassed. These guys are going to worship the Lord. We're all going to sing. So we're just going to do our thing. We just want you to join us here. We're going to have a quick word of prayer and we're going to give you something. And we're going to give you a Bible and some stuff to help you in your journey of faith. But if you live lifted your hand. Can I ask you, as we worship, we're going to sing. Can we do that bit, O trample death, where is your sting? But can we do that little line three times? O trample death, where is your sting? The angels are off across the... O trample death, you watch. It'll go off like a frog in a sock. Do it three times, trust me. So we'll sing, and on the third, and then people are going to come. Trust me, it's a thing that we do. If you lifted your hand, church, can we go a bit mental as they come? Give me, that's not the right word, go crazy. Just come. If you lifted your hand, come. If you lifted, everyone that lifted your hand, just come. Hey, all over the house, just come, meet me right here. Just come, please come. Don't stay in your seat, just come. Ah, oh, it's awesome, just come. Hey. Are we going to do it again? Oh, trample down. Keep coming. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Amazing. We're so proud of you and we love you. Every one of you matter to God. I'm so proud of you. You are awesome. And everyone else, I'm just saying it to you, looking at you, and I mean it for everyone. And we're so grateful to God that you've taken this step of faith. We're so proud of you, church. Are we pumped this morning? And this awesome. Your life's different from now on. It's different. We're going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer to invite Christ into your heart. All I'm going to ask you to do, I'll give you the words, but let it be real in your heart to God. Church, can you stretch your hands out towards everyone here? You guys at the front, can I ask you to lift your hand to the Lord? He's going to do a work right now of grace. We're going to pray a prayer. You pray it out loud with me. Church, I'm going to ask you to do it as well, if that's okay. Let's do this together. Dear God in heaven, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for my sin, for the things I've done, and for the way I've lived. Please forgive me. Wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. From this moment, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again for me. In Jesus' name, I'm saved and forgiven. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope it was an encouragement to you. If you'd like to know more about David and Donna, please visit our website, davidhall.com.au.